Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
How's the new papa?
Ah, doing good, man.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Nice.
I haven't slept much.
Yeah. How are the poops?
You know, not bad. You know what it looks like? It looks like crushed up pistachio.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good comparison.
Is that kind of a common thing?
Yeah. Give it some time. Okay. Well, it gets progressively worse, but
you'll see. All right, so that's something I'll be looking forward to for sure.
Yeah, like Gigi had one today. I was just like, God damn! Like, do you take the cake in this family? Like, my God, I thought mine stunk.
How old is she?
She's is she 2.5 yet? Almost
when
2.5.
When did they start shitting in the toilet?
So Gigi, we're starting to, like, you know, she'll say like, oh, I gotta go pee pee, I gotta go poo poo, and we'll put her on the toilet. We have like this like porta potty toilet thing, whatever. But she hasn't gone yet. I think it's like anywhere between 2.5 and 3 they start to. Some later, some earlier, I guess. You got some time.
Fingers crossed it's earlier.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes, though.
Yeah, you got some time. All right. I'm a little afraid for it, though, because, I don't know, once you let go of the diaper, it's like, oh, fuck. Like, they shit their pants. It's like a complete disaster, you know?
So. Yeah, but you know what? That's on her, though, you know?
Yeah, I mean, out in public it'd be a nightmare, but we'll see.
Do you think Zach Wilson is potty trained or no?
What a segue.
I love it.
That's amazing.
That is an amazing segue. Guys, it's Thanksgiving week. It's time to be thankful, you know, grateful for all we have. But as Jet fans, we are not thankful or grateful for anything. Especially our quarterback. I don't know what to say. So I rank Zach Wilson as the 71st best quarterback in the NFL. That's where I got him. He's the worst starting quarterback in the league. I think every backup is better than him, and I think about half the third stringers are better than him. 71st is being generous. Paul, where do you
have? What about some of the wide receivers?
There probably are some wide receivers, you know, like Julian Edelman was a quarterback, right? He's probably better than him. It's so bad. Paul, unleash. Go.
I mean, we hoped, right, that, you know, everything that we saw with our eyes was wrong, and that we were hoping that he would be, you know, that guy. We were just straight hopium, right? Everything. Just lying to ourselves the whole entire time since this guy took his first snap as the quarterback. He is a spoiled little bitch. And he's done. Put him in the bedroom. He's done. He is the epitome of, like, the villain quarterback, pretty boy from a small town who everyone hates in the movie.
Yes.
This guy is disgusting. He had 2 yards in the second half of an NFL football game. 2. And how many times did they have the ball that second half? 10?
Oh, too many.
2 yards.
Yeah.
2 yards. Literally, he could have done a QB sneak 50 times in the second half and had 65 yards. He had 2 yards. And there were guys open. There was plenty of opportunity. He did himself absolutely zero favors in the press conference after, just looking like a spoiled kid. He looked like a spoiled little brat.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that Salah came out today. You know, his press conference was like an hour and a half, like, delayed, so I kind of assumed that they were talking about how they're going to go about this. And pretty much said, like, hey, everything is on the table. So he's telling the locker room, and he's telling Zach, like, the training wheels are off. Like, you're this close, you know? Like, we're not married to you. And it's getting so close to just being done. Because if he starts this Chicago game poorly on Sunday, I think he'll start, but it's going to be a very short leash. He's the crowd is going to be just ready to explode and go after him. And he, when that happens here in New York, you don't recover. You're done. So
yeah,
I'm not expecting him to play well this Sunday. I think he's going to crawl into a shell like he normally does, and it's going to be the Mike White era. See what he can do, maybe, or Flacco. I don't know if they'll go back to him, but they're definitely going to be looking for a new quarterback this offseason. And I think every Jet fan, like, we hoped. You saw the flashes, but, like, I know for myself, deep down, this kid is just no. He had a bad vibe. He has such a punchable face. There's just something about him just irked me from the day I saw him, where he came from, the school, the BYU, just everything. Like, he wasn't from a big conference. There's just so many red flags with it. He didn't even dominate in that conference. He had a great highlight tape. Like, Coastal Carolina destroyed him. And, like, who was their top competitor his last year or whatever. Coastal Carolina. Like, what the hell do you think Bill Belichick is going to do? So, they clearly got it wrong again. Unless a miracle happens, but let's be real. I mean, his comparison stats that they were showing with his first 18 games line up with Jamarcus Russell and Johnny Manziel. So,
yikes!
Like, really?
Not ideal. Not ideal.
Not ideal. I'm done with him. I've been done, but now it's official.
Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah, and you
know, you know what the unfortunate thing is? I feel like the team is very ready to compete.
Yes.
Like, I think they have one of the top four or five defenses in the NFL, if not the top defense. Like, even this weekend, holding that Pats team to 3 points. And they got a really good set of young skill position players. So, like, any kind of productivity, I think, from the quarterback. I mean, even right now, with the quarterback situation, they're still sitting there at 6-5 in the AFC, or 6-4 in the AFC. You're right there. You're right in the mix. So that tells you how good the rest of the roster is, even despite the poor play at quarterback. I think he's right 32nd in, like, most categories. So, I mean, there's still time for this team to turn it around if they could figure that out. But really, it's kind of a shame, honestly.
Yeah, he's and that's pretty, the thing.
I was going to say, he's pretty dumb, right? So yeah. he obviously had one of the worst games he's ever had, if not the worst game he's ever had as a pro. And he just come out, and you know what? Fans will appreciate if you come out and just are honest and say, hey, I sucked. Josh Allen did it, right?
Yep.
Nobody thinks any less of Josh Allen. You just had a bad game. Hey, I sucked. I didn't give credit to the coaching and the defense and everyone else. And you just say, I lost the game and own it, right? Everything is your fault. And even when it's not, it's still your fault. And that's how you got to be as the quarterback and the leader of the team. He shows no leadership qualities. And he's right. He's Bo Callahan from draft day. He's the quarterback that teammates didn't show up on his birthday at his birthday party. The defense is liking tweets that are all, you know, negative about him. I'm scared that he lost the team already.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's over. And Paul, you know, something you mentioned, how we were kind of like, ooh, I don't know about this pick. We were like that. I wish we can go back to past episodes. And we were kind of like, oof, I don't know about this. Like, the warning signs were there, right? But it's worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's worse than we thought. I mean, you know, we had our issues with Darnold and with Sanchez and even Geno, I guess, for a little bit. But this is worse than all four. You know what I mean? Worse of the four. It sucks, and it makes you think about Joe Douglas. Like, he's been amazing as a GM, I think, with literally everything except for this. This is like,
yeah.
It's so
you know
bad.
What? Now that you say that, it's not Joe Douglas. The drafting a quarterback is like a league-wide problem now.
Yeah.
Because the bust rate for any NFL prospect in the first round, they say, is 50%. Okay? That's for any NFL prospect. But I feel like the last 5 or 6 years for quarterbacks, it's been way higher. And I wish I would have went back and just – gone through all the quarterbacks that have been drafted in the first round the last 4 or 5 years, because I guarantee you 75% of them have either busted out of the league or they're mediocre. I think what's happening is guys that are getting second and third round grades, probably I want to go back all the way to like Christian Ponder, who like everyone kind of had in the third round, right? And then the Vikings kind of reach up and they grab him like 15th overall. And even like Baker Mayfield, same deal. He was like a second or third round guy. All of a sudden, he's first overall. Kyler Murray, they were saying fourth round before that year. He has a good year. Now he's the first pick overall. I just think that teams get so excited about drafting a quarterback and being in position to draft a quarterback. They instead of letting the process happen and taking whatever is there for them, it's a constant reach. Like if Zach Wilson got drafted 14th or 15th and had a year behind, a quality starter and the team was a little bit better, maybe it's a different situation right now. But I definitely think it's a league-wide problem.
100%.
Which is another thing. Why I understand why teams that are, I don't think the Jets thought they would be contending this year or even, playoffs, whatever. I look at Taylor Heinicke, Nick Foles back in the day, Minshew. What do these teams have against starting, a middle of the road like veteran quarterback? It's not the worst thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're so against that. They're like, nah, we have to find this guy from freaking,
Mahomes,
Tennessee, Chattanooga. Yeah, that can throw. Yeah, or that, like, you want the guys that have the highlight tape, like, oh, he can do this. He can make this throw at the combine. Like, that's all you saw with Zach Wilson with these highlights. Oh my God, he threw a ball 80 yards, falling backwards, side on.
Yeah,
okay.
The rollout
great
pass.
Yeah.
That's great, bro. You can't throw a 2-yard screen pass with a guy wide open. Like, who gives a shit, right?
Yeah, like, look at the Niners, too. Like, they trade right up all that. They use all that draft capital to trade up and get Trey Lance. When Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, it's not pretty, but he's been in the Super Bowl, and he's been to the NFC title game. You trade up for this guy, he gets hurt. I mean, they could have stood pat where they were. And who knows? Maybe they could have had like a Micah Parsons or a Devontae Smith, or you trade up to that spot, they could have got Jamar Chase in that spot. You know what I mean? So that's just another example. Imagine those guys on that team. So.
Yeah, three years in a row. If you look at Jimmy G, right, in 3 years, it was Super Bowl, NFC title, NFC title.
He wins. He wins.
Yeah.
He wins.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, it's tough, right? Because I think you're nothing unless your quarterback is good. So everybody's reaching to grab that. I was thinking about that today, right? It used to be like Peyton Manning, number one pick, and he was generational talent, right? But now look at the top quarterbacks. Like Josh Allen was a number one pick. Lamar Jackson was the last pick in the first round. Pat Mahomes was, I think, pick 13, pick 10. It's not necessarily – and that's like the top tier. Everyone else is like in the middle.
I think the talent is so strong in the NFL right now that like if you're going to reach and get a quarterback with the first pick and he's not this bulletproof prospect, and even if he is, like Trevor Lawrence coming in, this guy was the bulletproof guy, right? But you're going to end up on a team that's horrible. You know what I mean? Like you're going to end up on a team that was the worst team in the NFL, like one win or two wins, and you're going to come in there and the expectation is going to be that you're going to start like from day one on this crappy team, and then 3 games in, if you don't deliver, like you're going to get destroyed on the internet. You're going to get destroyed on like what happened to this guy? How come this guy can't perform? It's almost an impossible situation. That's why I think, Josh, when you're saying guys later in the draft, I think they're in much better situations, less pressure. I think that might be the norm going forward. Even look at teams that look at this year's MVP crop. It's like Geno Smith. He's in Seattle. The team's good around him, and he's making plays. Even Tua. Tua is like top of the league in almost every category. I don't think anyone would say that Tua is the most talented quarterback in the NFL, but the team is loaded, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's got a lot to do with it. The team setting.
It's also tough because all these GMs and coaches have such a short leash, right? We always talk about like Black Monday, right? Like when the playoff teams are set, how many coaches get fired, and they've only been at their place maybe 2 years, 3 years. So you need, there's so much pressure and urgency to get the quarterback early in the top 5 picks and then play him right away. Like realistically, Zach Wilson in the right situation, he should be sitting. And I forgot
yes,
who it was.
Yes.
I forgot who it was. I think it was Robbie Anderson. He was saying that he was like, Sam Darnold was set up to fail right from the get-go because that kid should have came in and sat for 3 years. and then played. But because he had to play right away, he had really no time to develop or learn. He was just kind of thrown in the fire. And he was a really good prospect, Sam Darnold.
That's what happens because what happened? You have who drafted him? Maccagnan, right? Who was on the hot seat.
Yep.
And he gave up all the draft capital to draft him three. So he's like, all right, this is my only chance. I have to start him, basically. So, yeah, they put these kids in such a hard position. It does no one favors. You know, it doesn't help anybody.
Pat Mahomes sat for a full year. But it's not even just sitting. It's like, who are you behind? He had asked Alex Smith, who, of course, like Alex Smith was a very good player, but he wasn't like a superstar quarterback. But like Alex Smith, I bet you right now could be an offensive coordinator or maybe even a head coach because he's just smart, right? He just didn't have the talent, the abilities to be the top quarterback in the NFL, but he knows stuff, right? And sitting behind somebody like that and learning for a year probably goes a long way.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Right. Aaron Rodgers, too. 3 years behind Favre.
3 years. That's crazy. Think about that. Three seasons. Three seasons that dude sat. That's unbelievable. I can't even. That's unimaginable.
And he's a first-round pick. Yeah. First-round pick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. I don't like – Paul, you said they'll probably start Zach, and you're probably right. I hate that. I think they should just start with Mike White. Like, just fuck it. Like, why – why put Zach out there? The crowd's already going to be against him, right?
Is Mike White better than Zach Wilson, though?
No one knows. I don't know. Paul, no what one do you knows. Think?
I mean,
I think that's the problem that Saul has to figure out. He did say he's like, everything's on the table. I think that's what's on the table that he has to figure out. Like, at Zach Wilson's worst, is he still better than Mike White? He probably is.
I guess we'll find out because I'm telling you, if he doesn't – that first incomplete pass that sails like over someone's head on Sunday, it's going to be an away game.
Boobers.
Oh, yeah.
Boobers.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to really be bad. Well, so I had half the third stringers in the league, Ben and Zach. So is Mike White, you know, he's a third stringer, right? Is he one of those 16 that are better? I don't know.
We'll see.
And then Flacco,
any worse yesterday. All of us could have done a better job. Literally, like he could not have done worse.
So frustrating because you were right. It was like how many possessions did they have, and it was just like you knew nothing was going to happen. It was
nothing.
Incredibly. And then I think you said it. You're like, this is ending in a defensive touchdown or special teams touchdown, and it literally ended in the worst possible way. Like untouched. Like punt return, the only punt return for a touchdown all season. It's like amazing.
I know.
Amazing.
And like, I wasn't even like mad. I was just like, oh, like of course. You know? Like just like all right. Like just I was happy it ended almost because if that went into overtime and then like, you know, the Jets have three possessions, don't do anything, and then like the Pats get a field goal at the end, like I would just it'd have been torture.
Well at least the Jets would have
happy.
At least the Jets would have covered though.
Of course, against the Pats too.
I know
that was like the worst beat of the day.
But if you're the defense, I mean, what are you thinking? Like, oh fuck! Like, we got to go out there again. Like, really? Like,
so frustrating. Yeah.
Come on.
It's so frustrating.
And then this dude, he comes up after the press conference, chewing on his gum, looking like a teenager, and then you know, he just reminded me of like a freaking spoiled like 10-year-old and they were asking him legit questions and he just gives these one word answers like no like
no he's a privileged little
it's brutal. He is like the casting epitome of the villain, like kid that you just don't like.
Yeah. And even, you know, I always bring him up, but you know, even Bill Simmons made the point, and he's a Pats fan, he's like, I was watching this game, he's like, the Jets are good, they're a good team.
They're very good.
Yeah, like which makes it even worse. It's such a shame because again, just a serviceable quarterback, and this team, you know, like Flacco has 5 touchdowns this year. Zach has 4. Like Flacco has more touchdowns, and how many fewer games has he played? It's like, and we were all like, "Oh, get Flacco out of here," you know. But like, oh my god,
yeah.
How mad was Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, he was.
Well,
furious.
That's the thing. He was furious, and, like. They asked Saleh about that today, and he's like, what did you think about his comments? He's like, what? It was the truth. Like, he called a spade a spade.
Yeah.
What do you want him to say? Like, it looked like shit. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, sometimes I get on the floor, I'm like, ah, maybe it's not all Wilson. Okay, maybe it's LaFleur not putting him in good positions. Then you see these, like...
clips, yeah.
Clips over and over of different plays of guys
wide open.
Yeah. Wide open. Clean pocket, wide open. And he's looking at him. And he doesn't throw it. So, I don't know if he's just, like, gun-shy. But how can I say he's gun-shy when then again he drops 30 yards back, scrambles around, and then throws the ball to nobody? So... you know what I mean? It's like, it makes no sense.
It's the quarterback position. I mean, it is the hardest position in sports, right? Half of it, like, it's kind of like running. For me, like, running is like, half of it is mental. I feel like it's the same for quarterbacking, right? Half of it has got to be mental. Because you're right. Like, he probably sees the guy. He's like, oh, that guy's open. But he's just like, it's like stuck to his hand. He's just so nervous and just in over his head. I don't know.
Sometimes I see a lot with young quarterbacks also. I feel like they've been making, like, spectacular plays their entire lives, like, from, like, peewee football to high school to college, right?
Yeah.
That, like, sometimes even, like, a play that's, like, that, you know, just get the pop yardage sometimes, you know what I mean? Versus, like, you know, keeping the play alive, you know, trying to extend the play, stretch it outside the pocket, then try to do something crazy. Like, just take what the defense gives you sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like basketball when you can't hit the ocean. Like, when you just can't hit a shot, the best thing to get you going is, like, hit a couple free throws or get, like, some layups.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Just, like, get that feeling of getting the ball in the basket, and that's what these quarterbacks need to do.
Definitely.
Complete a 5-yard pass, right?
Yeah, dink and dunk. Like,
they couldn't do it yesterday.
A couple of dinks and dunks. Yeah, because even the Pats, I mean, that's how good the Jets defense is, because the Pats, they were getting a lot of third downs for a while there. And then they missed two field goals. Let's be honest, that game could have been really bad. If they hit those two field goals, Zach should have had a pick six, right? If that happens, it could have been a blowout, but, you know.
Yeah, he threw two picks. They just dropped it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the missed field goals. I mean, as much crap that Jones gets, he moves the ball on teams. He can never, when he gets inside the 20 or the 30, he can't do anything else.
Yeah.
It's all dink and dunk. But,
Dable's smart enough to know that he is what he is and they can't really change him. So I think they gave him like free reign. Like, hey, listen, pass this there, take off, go nuts. Go run down the field.
You talk about Dable with DJ?
Yeah.
That's a good transition. Let's talk about the G-men who, I don't know, have they lost their magic here, their mojo, you know?
So I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about if they're going to win another game.
Ooh.
Well, it really comes down to this. I was looking at their schedule today. It's those two Washington games. That's it.
Yeah, because it kind of feels like, listen, I think before the season started, we said, like, this was the range, right? Like, it was, like, 6 wins to 9 wins, right?
Yeah.
We have 7 now. We had 4 pretty easy teams, and we went 2-2. Like, I didn't expect them to have 9 wins going into Thanksgiving. But now the schedule picks up, right? You got 1 against the Cowboys, 2 against the Commanders, 2 against the Eagles, and you get into the little tough part. And the problem is that we don't have an NFL talent offense. Jones is great. Good. You know, Saquon Barkley is great. No. Danny Jones is good, but they have nobody to throw to. So what do you do?
And they showed that Detroit yesterday. They were going to shut down Saquon. We're going to stack the box, and you can't throw the ball. And then they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I think there's... there's probably like 7 teams in the SEC that have better receiving core than the Giants.
Seriously.
They don't have any talent. Like, the Giants don't have any talent at skill position. But, like, to Josh's point, yeah, the schedule gets a lot harder. Like, I don't know. Like, Magic, like, you know, like, Detroit, that's their third win in a row. They got a pretty good offense. And I think one comment that I made yesterday was, like, it doesn't matter if the Giants are playing the 85 Bears or like Fort Lee High School, like, they're going to score 19 to 22 points. Like that's what they're going to do. They're not going to score more than that. So it's going to have to be the defense, and it's going to have to be the special teams, and they didn't have it yesterday. But I think they're going to makeshift their way to 9 or 10 wins somehow.
Where are they at now?
They got 7. They got 7. So yeah.
Yeah, they'll get
9 for sure.
Yeah.
They should get 2 more just on the sole fact that Dable's smart, right? He'll know how to coach, and the defense is good enough. But really, man, they have no wide receivers to throw to. I was disappointed we lost Wandell Robinson, our rookie for the year. Tore his ACL.
He was the one guy catching balls yesterday too.
Yeah. And what I think what's going to hurt about this week is if we lose to the Cowboys, a few days will pass and we might hear that Odell Beckham might be going to Dallas too.
Yeah. And that line is 8.5 right now. It started at 7, I think. So I don't know. It's
I think it'll be a close game.
I think so too. I don't know if they'll win. But I think it'll be close. But yeah, Giants. I mean,
what the hell happened to the Cowboys? They're really the best team in NFL history yesterday.
So that was nuts. The fact that Vegas, the wise guys, they had the Cowboys as a 1-point favorite in Minnesota, and we're all thinking like, oh come on, Minnesota's coming off a crazy win in Buffalo. They've lost one game, and oh maybe they're better than they're not really like lucky like everyone thinks like. You know, they'll go, they're going to kill the Cowboys or whatever. The Cowboys, my goodness. What the hell did the wise guys know? Like, what did they know there?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm not betting against them ever again. Like, that is ridiculous.
No.
You know, Dallas' defense is pretty good.
Pretty good?
You know, they're pretty good. So, I mean, they got a lot of talent at, you know, between Zeke, Pollard, you know, Dalton Schultz, CeeDee Lamb. They got guys.
No, they're really good.
NFC's weak. They're one of the better teams in the NFC for sure.
How did they blow that game to the Packers? They were 14 in the fourth quarter. Like, what happened that game? You know? Cowboys are way better than that game.
That's just like, I feel like that's just like the Cowboy way. Like, they're going to find a way to shoot themselves in the foot every once.
Yeah, it's true.
Once in a while.
That's very true. Because they're the national game all the time. They probably play pretty, you know, they're like on edge. Because of that, you know, the whole country's watching. I have no idea. But Thanksgiving, this is a nice slate coming up, right?
Do you guys shorter?
Yeah. Well, you got Bills, Detroit. Bills staying in Detroit, right? I got to think they probably just stayed there. I actually like Detroit. I mean, it's 9.5 the spread right now. 9.5. Detroit's kind of got some momentum going, right? They had that comeback against the Bears, and then they go into MetLife and beat down the Giants. I don't know. I kind of like Detroit there. Good spot.
Which makes me think, seems too good to be true, right?
I know.
I like the over.
Okay.
I don't think Detroit's defense is great. I think the Giants' offense stinks. So I think Buffalo's going to be able to score. And Detroit's offensive line is really good, I think, and the line has a lot of points, so I think it's gonna be a high scoring game.
Okay, I like that. What do you like, Paul?
If I had to go, I mean, looking at just Thanksgiving 9.5, and like Detroit, they're not like pushover; they can score. Yeah, I like the over, like Adam said, but I would take Detroit.
Yeah, this is like their Super Bowl, right? Every year, like they get the turkey, they get the Thanksgiving game, 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock, whatever. So I feel like they're going to be fired up. Juice, what do you think?
I think Buffalo routes them.
Okay. That could very, very well happen.
Buffalo.
I mean, I can't believe it. The spread was 8 against the Browns and ended up pushing. Unbelievable. But
well, honestly, happened at the end. Browns were – they could have easily won that game if you, like, followed it in the beginning. They dropped, like, 3 touchdowns, Cleveland.
They did?
The fumble. Okay. Yeah, there was like a lot of stuff that they jumped up 7-0. They should have been up like 14 or 17 points, and then they just, you know, Clevelanded it away. So
Watson coming back at the wrong time. I think he comes back. Does he come back this Sunday or is it like the following?
Whenever they play at Houston, so I think it's.
I think it's week 11.
Okay, it's like what's the point?
Might be next week.
They're not going anywhere. So that should be a fun game, and then. Giants Cowboys, which is always a fun game. That's 8.5. I don't know. I think it'll be close. Those games are always close, right? So, I, you know, Cowboys by a field goal, maybe. That's what I'm thinking.
You know what? If the Giants won that game, I wouldn't care if they lost every game for the rest of the year.
You just want the Thanksgiving game, the turkey game? Yeah.
Be happy with the Thanksgiving day in Dallas win.
In Dallas win, yeah, that'd be a nice
honestly.
One.
Yeah.
Pancakes, Juice, what do you guys think?
For which one?
The Giants, Cowboys.
Giants, Cowboys.
G-Man cover. I think it's going to be a very close game.
Yeah, I think they cover. Yeah, big time.
Barkley on turf, he'll go off.
The first game, it was close up until we actually took the lead, and then the third quarter, they broke away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? The Cowboys don't typically play all that great on Thanksgiving. I'll say it's a close game.
That's actually a good that's a good question. So I'm going to look up Cowboys Thanksgiving record.
I usually spend Thanksgiving with some Cowboy fans, and they're usually cursing by dessert. So
let's see. Thanksgiving record. There it is. So
gotta be over 500 for sure.
What the hell? How many times? Oh. So they Dallas Cowboys. Oh wow, Juice, they're actually better than I thought. 28-15-1 all time on Thanksgiving.
Wow. Okay.
That's very good.
Let's see the Lions. Lions, I can't imagine it's good. But you never know. Let's see. The Lions are
10-40.
It's not 37-42-2.
Would you want to play on Thanksgiving if you were an NFL player?
I wouldn't. Nah.
No.
I don't think it matters to these guys.
If it's the early game, I mean, I think these guys, they have to practice anyway early on Thanksgiving. So it's like if you play the early game, then you have the whole day after. And then you have the weekend off. Like chill.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I think I like it if you know
you're gonna win. If you lose, it's gotta be like shitty.
Yeah, it's gotta
like,
suck.
Yeah, because I mean the number for that, I gotta think after the Super Bowl is Thanksgiving like the best number, or do you think it's the championship games? I don't know.
It's probably up there for regular season though. The Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, yeah, I mean literally everyone's watching. I mean it's like the parade. People go from the parade to the NFL games. You know.
Yeah.
So, and then now we never had this really growing up, but it's happened the last, what, like decade or so? We get a night game, which
that
is
third game, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, what's the third game?
It's a good one. Pats at Vikings.
Big for the Jets. Minnesota to win.
Yeah. So
Is that in Minnesota?
Yes.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah. Which
Patriots schedule is brutal, I think.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But, yeah, Vikings should.
Like, I never make the third game. Usually conked out. By
yeah, life. Yeah, it's a tough one, right? All the food and drinking and weed smoking.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely drunk.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tough one, but it's a good one. Vikings are laying 3. I don't know. I say Vikings. There's no way they lose 2 in a row at home, do they?
Coming off that game on a short week, that this is like, you know, they don't bounce back at that game. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be shocked too. I think they cover.
I still think the Pats stink. They
just have the Jets number. It's just, you know,
yeah,
it's what it is. You know, who knows though? I doubt this would happen, but you know, maybe they meet in the playoffs. Jets, Pats? No, I don't think.
Either one of them will. It's going to come down to them. Those two, who's going to win? I'm sorry. Who gets to the playoff is the last spot,
right? Because Dolphins and Bills
Buffalo's
are shoo-in.
In.
Yeah,
Buffalo's in. Miami's in. One of Cincinnati or Baltimore will be the other wild card, I assume.
Yeah,
Chargers are done. Right.
Yeah,
I think Chargers are done after that loss last night. And yeah, it's going to come down to Jets Pats, and they have the tiebreaker, which sucks.
Maybe like Baltimore, Cincinnati, right? Did we say that? Or is one of those?
Yeah,
guys
one of those will be a wild card.
Okay, all right, yeah.
The Colts, Panero's Colts have a shot.
I'm shoveling dirt on the Colts.
They almost pulled it off against Philly. They blew it at the end.
Yeah.
People would be all fired up about them if they won, but
Yeah.
Is what it is. All right, cool. So shall we transition over to hoops?
Sure.
Do you want to do you guys want to do an hour on Utah with Tan Watanabe? Or...
Watanabe?
The god.
Where did he come from?
All Japan.
He's on Toronto last year. He's on a non-guaranteed.
Nice role player.
He's got a million and a half non-guaranteed this year.
What was the corner three stat you had? That was amazing.
He's 17 for 22 on corner threes. He's first in the NBA in three-point percentage, and he's first in the NBA in spot-up jumper percentage.
Oh, my God.
Damn. Wow.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Is Tokyo Drift.
Is he their second most valuable player right now?
No, I would say the first most valuable player.
Yeah, actually, yeah, maybe. So where are the Nets going here? Because it's like on and off. Like, the one game they look amazing, the next game they're terrible. You know, Durant makes comments, Kyrie with his whatever. I have no idea what direction this team's going.
To me, it seems like they're gonna take this runway here from now till January 19th is when all the off-season free agents can be traded. So I think now you're going to get a little runway here to see if this team can make any noise, at which point they'll decide which direction to go. Me personally, like, just watching the team, and just it just feels like an insurmountable amount of chaos just constantly. Like, I don't think this is over with Kyrie. I think something else is going to happen.
Oh,
so,
God.
In my opinion, I don't believe I don't know, like, who had, you know, Black Israelite, you know, protests on their bingo card this year? Like what's next? Like, if you can't predict, like, who knows? You know, so like, to me, I look at the Celtics and I look at the Bucks and I'm like, how the hell is this team going to put together and like beat one or both of those teams in a 7-game series? So if it were up to me, like, I don't really think this team is winning a title. I would try to see, like, Durant right now is playing like one of the two or three best players in the NBA. Like, just get everything you can back for him. Hope Ben Simmons comes back into form. He's only 25, 26 years old. Okay. And just those two pieces. If you get a draft pick back, if you get a young guy back, if you slide back into the lottery, you still have control of your pick, because Houston's so bad, they're not going to swap you. Houston's going to end up in the top four. So that's the route I would take. I would trade KD for a young guy. Like, if they traded KD for Scottie Barnes, for example, like, they're still going to suck. So just fall back into the lottery, use your lottery pick, you know, and hopefully get a couple other pieces there. Or if they trade KD for like Mikal Bridges and stuff, or to the Pelicans for like that Laker pick or whatever it is, like any of those trades where you get a young guy back or some young potential back. Couple picks. You hope Ben Simmons is real. You hope this resurgence is real. And that's the route I would take. But we'll see what they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And when's Kyrie play again?
So he played yesterday.
Oh, he did play yesterday. I don't know why I didn't see
that. Yeah, he played
yesterday.
Okay. 14 points. He had on 12 shots. Not great. He went 5 for 12. Zero assists. But he was fine. He had a couple nice plays. I don't know. Like, fine. Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's not like they don't have talent. Like, Kyrie, Simmons, and KD. That's a nice trio, especially if Simmons is really as good as he's been. And then, like, Watanabe, Harris, Seth Curry. They got some shooting there. Claxton, who was out yesterday, but he'll be back. Like, the talent's there. I just think the off-court stuff is just insurmountable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like you said, I mean, I think it's just like, let's see what it is until, I don't know, the deadline. Like, you don't envision a trade happening before the deadline, right? Teams are going to be like weighing
their
options.
Well, I think the, my prediction would be January 19th. That's when everybody's available. So that's what I think. Right around that time, if the Nets are like 500, you'll hear like, well, there's been rumblings that Kate out and this, that, and the third. Then I think they'll stretch it to the deadline and try to get the maximum value they can for Katie, and maybe buy out Kyrie or try to trade him for a pick if he's a model citizen the rest of the way and plays well. But if he's a model citizen and he plays well and KD's playing well and Simmons playing well, the flip side of that is, you know, maybe they'll be pretty good. Maybe they'll be in second or third place in the East. Yeah, and then it's a little bit of a tougher decision if everybody's playing well and they're good. But like I said, my gut feeling between KD's trade demand, Ben Simmons' mental whatever, Kyrie, who the hell knows what comes next with Kyrie. And then, you know, all that, you know, all on top of all that, all those guys
they're kind of injury prone. So you hope everyone can stay healthy at least. But I don't expect this team to be a top two seed in January. So my prediction would be that they're going to blow this thing up.
Okay. Speaking of blowing things up, the New York Knickerbockers, who... I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just... It's tough to watch. I don't know where this team's going. They're like...
They're on in 1 minute.
Yes. playing the Thunder again. Second time in, I guess, almost a week here. Juice, you saw... You were there in person to witness that disaster.
Yeah, last Sunday I was there live. 145 to 135.
Jesus Christ.
Nice. It was sold out. It was in front of like thousands of children because it's a Sunday matinee game. All these kids have off and it was a really, really fun atmosphere. I don't know. The way this is going out, so they're eight and nine right now. Hopefully they win tonight. They'll be 9-9, but I think this is who they are. They're a 500 team, a little less if they're, you know, not playing well, and maybe a little bit more if they are playing well. My concern is that as it stands now, there are no stars that you can get.
Right.
There's
no one right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Thibodeau, I think the coach is a goner because once, like, now you're judged by the court of the media and everybody is turning on him and has turned on him. But, you know, I'm the one guy that tries to stick up for him a little bit. And I think that he's coaching what he has and what he's been given. And a lot of blame needs to fall on Leon Rose. I mean, he constructed this roster and he didn't pull the trigger three times. He didn't pull it for Murray. He didn't pull it for Mitchell. He didn't pull it for Ivy. You have all these assets, and I think somebody else is going to be using them. And what I'm really afraid of is if there's no attainable stars that really you get excited about, then they're going to get desperate and make a deal for like an Anthony Davis or a Bradley Beal or a Carl Anthony. It's going to be a disaster. This is my suggestion. Just don't do anything. Maybe shorten the roster, shorten the rotation by trading Rose to a contender and trade Fournier to a team that needs some shooting. But everything else, play the young guys. Barrett has been awful, but the one thing I'll say about him is he just turned 22 years old. He's like 6 years away from being anything. And maybe he's Harrison Barnes, which is bad. Yeah. But we have the picks, right? Let's keep them and use them.
Yeah.
You know, as if interesting thing.
Yeah, stop drafting Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina and
yeah, that's the problem. So if you can't draft well, then they should trade the picks. But assuming that they have somebody who knows what the hell they're doing, you know, the picks are valuable. You know, as it stands, I'll just say this one thing and I'll kick it to you guys for your thoughts. But the Wizards are playing really well, right? We own a protected pick of them. So let's just say the playoffs started today. We have three first rounders. We have ours, we have the Wizards, and we have the Mavericks pick. That's, you know, three first rounders. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's this year?
This year, yeah. But it's heavily protected. Right now the Wizards are doing very well, so that's great for us. We'll get the pick. But if they come back down to reality and end up being like a play-in team, which I think that's what they're really like, then they'll probably keep it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Juice, I agree with everything you said, but and I don't want to sound like a hater, but I just can't watch Julius Randle on this team anymore. I can't. You would be opposed to trading him? You want to see him with this team?
No, here's the thing. I think he's our best player, though. We don't have a lot of talent.
Yeah, no, he is.
I'll say this, right? Like, I think, would I like to see Obi Toppin start? Yes, because it'll space out the floor and, you know, you could get creative and then maybe you'll lose games, but at least you'll find out if people are good or not.
Exactly.
I'll say this, and it's a really – I don't think I texted you guys. I told Adam this. Julius Randle, and I've noticed it for some while, and it really hit me when I was there live on Sunday. Julius Randle has some weird, like, Patrick Ewing, like, clout in the Madison Square Garden. And I don't know what, why it is or what it is, but he always gets, he gets special treatment. And I'll give you an example. I went to the game last Sunday, and they, you know how they do the lines for the national anthems?
Yeah.
They're facing each other, the teams. He's there holding, he just had a baby, a girl. He's holding his baby girl. And, you know, Kaiden, is that his name? The son, the older son?
Yeah.
He's like standing in front of him for the national anthem. And I've never seen that before. I've never seen the players, like kids with them when they're doing the national anthem. It's usually just the players side by side. So he's holding his baby and he has a son in front of him. And then national anthem ends, and then he goes to the like courtside, and his wife is there, and he gives his kids the thing. But like, I think there's some rumors that like Julius Randle somehow helped Leon Rose get that job or get an interview with Dolan or whatever. He has some weird clout where they can't like bench him, they can't do anything. Like I think if like Kenny Atkinson was coaching this team, he would have benched Randle and then had Obi start just to space the floor and see what it would be like.
So I've never seen that in a layup line where somebody had their kids, by the way.
Yeah.
Never seen that.
That's amazing.
When he won most improved player that amazing year, 2021 season.
Yeah.
Like his kid gave him the award. It was like very, he has a lot of like, I think, I don't know, something's going on there. He gets Patrick Ewing treatment, which he hasn't accomplished anything close to that.
I believe it though, because he's got the Kentucky connection. Obviously, Leon and Wes. So,
yeah, remember, makes sense. Remember Utah was playing. Who the hell was Utah playing? They were playing the Mavericks. It was in the playoffs.
Yeah, they were there.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're all there. And Randle was one of the guys. It was Worldwide West, Leon Rose, Allen Houston, and Julius Randle.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very strange.
They wanted his intel on, hey, what do you think about you and Brunson? Like, you think you can pair? And, like, literally, all of us as fans are like, I mean, we want Brunson, but we're like, can we get Brunson with like Mitchell or Brunson with, you know, DeJounte?
I like him much better though with Jalen Brunson this year. I think he's having a better year. They won that Denver game because of him.
Yeah.
He's a monster. He's having a better year so far than last year. The one strange thing is RJ Barrett, like he got a point guard and now RJ Barrett can't play with a point guard. It's weird.
Yeah. And RJ, this is his trend, right? Like maybe after January 1st, he'll be awesome. And he's had some games this year. He's been awesome, but most of them have been bad. You know, Paul's favorite player.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Paul. Adam, why don't you send us Durant?
I'll get back to you. Let me see what else I can get. I think
Durant genuinely likes trolling the Knicks, trolling Knick fans. Remember he had that comment after the game against the Knicks? They killed
him. Loves it.
He loves it.
Yeah, his favorite game of the year is the Knicks games, for sure.
Well, I think it has to do with Rich Kleinman, his manager.
Yeah, for sure.
Grew up a diehard Knicks fan, so I think he loves that dynamic of just being like, your team sucks.
I think it's two things. I think it's Kleinman, and I think the Knicks fans give him a lot of shit on the internet.
Yeah.
So I think it's twofold.
They asked him about that, and he was just like, man, it's all in fun. Like, I want to create this rivalry. I want to be a part of it. So he loves booing the Knicks fans. It's great.
Yeah.
I respect the play. I actually respect. I like that.
Yeah.
When you guys talk about the Knicks, it feels very negative to me.
yeah, to say the least.
I know. But like when we were on this pod before the year, like we said, hey, maybe they'll be 500.
I know.
Right now they're 8-9.
I was thinking about that.
Right. Yeah. Like they're a 500 team. Randle to me. Like that net game was not great, but I felt like he was the one guy that gave a shit.
Here's the difference. I'd be okay with being around 500 or a little better than 500 playing game, but if like Obi and Quickly are playing a lot of minutes, we're seeing Deuce McBride, like we're seeing some of the young talent. You know, when they're just throwing out vets and they're still like this mediocre or less than mediocre, it just makes it worse. I don't know. Maybe that's the difference for me, at least.
Like I think Brunson to me, like he's probably lived up to the billing, if not better.
No,
right?
He's been great. I love him. Yeah.
I would even say better.
Better. Yeah. So I the big mistake to me was like they didn't have to extend Barrett. Like, they didn't have to extend him. Like, they could have just went into restricted free agency next year, and he's a restricted free agent, and then figured it out. Like, they didn't have to give him that $100 million deal. So now you have him at 30-plus for the next couple of years. Like, that might change his trade value. Like, that was probably a contract. And especially after you paid – and I'm going to sound like a broken record because I said it on the last couple of pods, I think. But when you pay Randall $100, then you pay Brunson $100, like, once you lock in RJ – like, now you have three guys at $100 million, and none of them are really, like, in that upper tier. Like, what is the ceiling of this team? It's severely capped. So, I don't, like, it is what it is now. Like, I guess, you know, you could kind of go up from the middle, like, and try to trade up there. But, like, you can't go forward with this triumvirate. And, you know, you just can't. It's impossible.
Yeah. They're in purgatory. They have to get lucky with the draft.
Purgatory.
With all these picks.
Yeah.
You know. They need some luck. They have to draft a Shea Gilgeous Alexander. They got to get a, you know, one of these guys.
They need a Jets draft. They need what the Jets did this year.
Yeah, I think maybe it might come down to, like, okay, if you're the Knicks, like, okay, let's pick a direction here. Okay, like if you believe that Randall is your best player, which I do, right, and Brunson, then try to package the young guys and see if you can figure something out and get somebody in there that could be, you know, a third guy or like the guy, and you know, start competing, you know, in that three, four, five range versus where they are now, or maybe trade Randall, keep Barrett, and go the other way with it, and try to slip into that lottery spot. You know, that's what I think they got to do. So I think that they're kind of in a similar situation to the Nets, where like they got like a little stretch here where they got to figure out if they're really going to compete. And if they're going to compete, they got to bolster this roster up. But if not, then maybe it's time to, you know, pull the plug on Randall and you know, try to play the kids and slide more towards the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot to figure out here. Yeah.
I'm still ready for this Durant trade to the Knicks. Let's go, Adam.
I mean, listen. I want to slide back in the lotto. I don't know about the young guys on the Knicks. I don't really love it. So
yeah,
you know, I'll say this. I was hoping we could like have a chance at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. How good is this kid, man? He's untradeable.
It's amazing.
He's awesome.
He's amazing. Two way player. Scores at will. Right. Like, it makes it look so easy. And you know. I mean, he's got some injury stuff, but whatever.
Is he the league leader in points? He's up there, right? He's over 30 a game.
I think there's like seven guys averaging 30 a game.
He's 50-40-90, too, I just saw.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he's having like a perfect season so far.
I didn't know he could shoot like that.
I know.
They have a really fun team with Giddy, and then next year they'll get Chet. Maybe Chet will come back at the end of this year just to test it out.
That'd be fun. Maybe they play in team, you know, if they're, you know.
Yeah, they've been playing really well.
Yeah, them. But yeah, there's no player out there for Nick. So yeah, they need to decide, like, hey, you know, do we just fire Thibodeau? Let's see Johnny Bryant coach, play some of the young guys, and then just go from there. I don't know. It's so bad. Like, they're kind of like a crossroads here. I don't know.
You know someone's going to ask out. Like, you know, someone's going to be unhappy around the deadline. Like, it's inevitable. Like, even though we can't think of it now, like, it's going to happen. Like, that's just the way the league.
You know, be nice is if it's Ant Edwards.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Oh, were you? Okay. Yeah, we're on the same page.
I think he's really unhappy. But again, I don't know. If you get him, like, it's a nice player, right? But I still don't know what he is or what his potential is.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's having kind of like a rough start too, right? That whole team. And by the way, that was my prediction. That team would be a disaster.
Right.
And they kind of have been so far. I don't know.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of surprise. It's the NBA season, the beginning at least, is a lot like the NFL, where it's a lot of we didn't predict a lot of this stuff happening. Like Utah. Utah's a really good team.
Yeah, didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming at all.
And Portland?
Portland, yeah.
Yeah. They're great.
It's good. There's
Shaden Sharp is unbelievable.
Yeah, my guy.
He's unbelievable. He's I think he's going to be like a top five player. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I've never seen, like, he's just, he reminds me of Tracy McGrady. Like, I'm like, the guy, the jump shot is pure. He's one of the best athletes in the whole league. He's got size for a wing. I don't know. I think when he's fully mature, he's got a chance to be as good as anybody.
Oh, man.
Like, I think Portland would just hold him out. I think Portland would hold him out of a KD trade. Like, I don't even think they could get KD. I don't think KD could get you Shaedon Sharpe. Like, that's how good I think he's looked.
Damn. Yeah, him and Keegan Murray, right? They've been the best two rookies. Murray looks like a vet. Like, he's...
Talk about that, like, how unpredictable the season's been. Sacramento is the best in California.
Yeah. Right now?
Saboner.
Saboner,
yeah, you got
Herter.
The number one offense in the West.
Fox has been amazing. I forget. I think I was playing against him. Who has him? Paul, you have him.
Yeah, I got Fox.
And we were tight. Every week in fantasy, I'm tight, and then I end up losing. But but Fox, I think it was like the Saturday or Sunday of our week, our matchup, and like I was watching that game, and he was just like unconscious. Like, he was just hitting everything.
Yeah, he's shooting well, and he's at a different speed than everybody. He just looks like he's playing a different sport speed-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it seems fun. A lot of parity right now. It's still early, but, I mean, what's like the really bad teams right now?
Orlando?
Lakers?
I was going to say Lakers, but I think they won three in a row, right?
Well, AD, of course, he decides to go off the week I'm playing against him. yeah, of course. Shout out to Mike.
Houston has been horrible.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. And like, what are they? Like, what's Eric Gordon doing? Like, he's probably like, what am I doing here?
Yeah,
yeah. Because he's like the only vet on the team. Who else? Detroit, I guess, has been pretty bad. They've been injured a lot, right? Cade hasn't really played.
Yeah, he's out. I think he broke his shin, right?
Oh, damn. That sucks.
Yeah, he's out indefinitely.
But, you know, if you're a Pistons fan, you get to see a lot of Ivy, who I haven't really been paying too much attention, but I like the way he looked against the Knicks.
What about Cunningham being hurt?
Yeah, we just said that.
Oh, sorry.
No, all good.
So he's gonna be out for months, I think, no?
Yeah, I think he broke his shin.
Damn.
Yeah, it's not a good injury. It's tough.
Who would you guys say is like the MVP right now? Tatum?
Kelly Olynyk?
Olynyk.
I like Tatum. I think that's a good one.
Luka.
You think Luka? The Celtics are like playing really well. You know what I mean? They're just a really good team. And Tatum's just, I don't think I've seen him miss a shot. It's like ridiculous.
I mean, I know it's been maybe slight bias, and I know they haven't been the most consistent team, but I mean, Durant's got to be in the combo, no?
Yeah, no, he's in it. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's had the most consecutive 25 games to start a season since Will Chamberlain.
Jesus.
Yeah, I think he's shooting like 60% from the field. Yeah, he's been playing pretty good.
I'd say the top five best players in the league so far: Luka, Durant, Tatum. Who's the other two you would throw in there right now? Shea Gilgeous.
Shea.
Yeah.
Yep.
And. Yeah.
Lauri Markkanen?
Yeah, Lauri Markkanen. Let's go. He's been great.
How about campaign?
Campaign. Oh, yeah, because Chris Paul's been
there. He's been killing it with that, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
He's a good solid backup.
Yeah.
Where would you rate, like, Randall or Brunson? Those are probably the Knicks' two best players. Like, where would you rate them in the league, like, number-wise?
So here's I don't think the Knicks have a top 50 player. Tops, maybe it's even 60.
Okay, wow. So not even top 50. Okay. I think I agree.
I was gonna do a little better. I was gonna say they probably crack the top 40. I'd say Brunson might be like, number 35 on the list.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, because like Juice, if you're saying not even top 50, that means there's a guy, the second player on each team is better than our best player, or almost all the teams, right?
Almost, yeah. Like, I don't, there's no star player on our team,
right? We know that, yeah.
Like, even bad teams like if you, even if you like take Orlando, right? They have Paolo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have him than anyone, probably. I mean, I love Brunson, but Paolo's like,
yeah, I don't know.
He's going to be a top 10 player, but I think.
That's what makes it tough, right? The game, if you look at the games that we've lost, the guys, the stars killed us. Like, DeJounte Murray absolutely massacred us when we played Atlanta.
Yeah. Ja.
Donovan Mitchell looked like Michael Jordan. Shea, Ja.
Yeah.
All these guys.
Yeah,
that's the missing piece.
Like, Tatum,
we need that guy. Yeah.
No, I know, and that's the I think that's the part that sucks the most. Not the mediocrity, not Thibs, not playing the young guys. We don't have that guy. We just don't, and it sucks. We're the most valuable basketball team in the fucking world, and we don't have a star player.
And they really haven't had since Melo.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like KP was like supposed to be, it didn't work out.
Right.
After that, it's been kind of this mismatch right now.
Yeah.
But I really think that they're in the position. I know we've been saying this for too long and everyone's been saying this for too long, but they're definitely in a position to get a guy. And there's going to be a guy available. So I think it's just going to come down to patience, making sure it's the right guy versus.
Oh, yeah. Patience. You know, let's
start on Bradley Beal, like you guys said.
Been patient this long, right? Yeah, that's another another year.
Right.
That brings me to my next point. Juice, you wanted to talk about, you know, if the Knicks folded or they just disappeared and we had to pick a team. Let's talk about that. Well, Juice, let's start with you. It was your topic.
Wait, can you explain the rules one more time?
Yeah, Juice, explain the rules.
Okay, so the NBA decides to contract and they eliminate your team, right? I could say, let's say both teams, right? Because I would probably pick Brooklyn just because I used to live in Brooklyn and proximity and all that stuff, right? So let's say you can't pick Brooklyn, Adam, you can't pick the Knicks.
Okay.
So they just eliminated your team and you have to follow a new team and that's your team. I'm talking about you follow them in the offseason. You buy all their apparel throughout the years. You follow their free agency, the trades. You're a diehard fan of this team now. Who do you pick? It's a hard question.
It is.
I probably would have said if this was the year 2000, I probably would have said Miami. Just because at least I would have more years of Pat Riley. Pat Riley's kind of old now.
But even after all, like, because they were like our heated rival, like we hated.
Yeah, it's true. But if they, yeah, that would have been a weird move. Like, you can't go to like the team that you hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have one like off the top of your head?
I got one.
Go for it.
Well, I said this in the group chat, but like, and I'm sticking with it. The Dallas Mavericks, because you go the star Luka, the owner Cubes. And the coach, Kidd. I think they're all like solid and are going to be there a long time. I like their uniforms. I like the arena. Dallas is like, you know, kind of a major market, right?
Yeah.
It's getting bigger, too.
Getting bigger, too. Yeah, a lot of tech going there and just people from New York and California. The Mavericks, you know. I
think that's a good one.
Yeah, that would be mine.
I got one. Easy for me.
Easy. Okay.
Okay. Wow. Very easy. I'm going Pelicans.
Wow. Long term.
I'll tell you why. First of all, you're good right now. Okay. You got Zion for the next however many years under contract. Ingram also. You got all those Laker picks. I don't care about market. I root for the New Jersey Nets. They were selling 2-for-1 season tickets. So small market, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll fly out to New Orleans and catch a game for cheap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know. It's lined up for them right now. And going forward, they got so many assets. Like, they might be able to get KD and keep all their guys.
That's
like,
crazy.
Like, they could just add KD to that group. Like Zion, Ingram, and KD.
Good GM, too. Good GM, too.
Yeah, good GM.
Yeah.
Good GM. A young coach, unproven, but we'll see how it goes. You know, a lot of good young players. Herb Jones. We haven't seen Dyson Daniels yet. I always like CJ. So, yeah, easy one for me. I'm going Pelicans.
Okay. Nice. Good one. Pancakes, you have one?
Yeah, Toronto. You got poutine fries, Drake. Get your own country.
Maasai.
You got dinosaurs as a logo. Maasai. I mean, What's not to like? Come on.
There you go. The six.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one. That's actually a good one.
I really like Toronto.
It's a good one.
No, they do. They have a great coach. They have a great, you know, GM, president, whatever he is. That is a good one.
I think their fan base is great.
Yeah, good fan base. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, they got all of Canada behind them.
They got the Jurassic Park thing going, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the real thing, we need a team back in Seattle for sure.
It's happening. Oh, yeah. It's happening.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
That and Vegas are happening, right? And then the Pels and the Grizzlies, I got to assume, would move to the East. And then the Vegas team, which LeBron supposedly is going to be involved with in some capacity. And then obviously the Sonics. So, yeah, I don't know when that's going to happen. Anyone know when that's going to happen, those two teams? A few years away, right?
Yeah. I think they wanted to wait till after. They wanted to get a new collective bargaining agreement and then, like, renew some of the TV deals before going that route.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be fun.
I might go Clippers.
Clippers, okay.
Yeah, new arena, right?
New arena, yeah.
Richest owner, new arena. I don't know. I used to, like, play with them in video games, like, when I was younger, because, like, they were the worst team always, but they had cool players, like Elton Brand, Darius Miles, and I don't know. But I think part of it is, like, you need a passionate fan base. You really need, like, people that are going to be crazy about the team. So I don't know. It's a hard question. I don't know.
It is tough. It is tough. Yeah. Yeah, because I thought about it, and I was like, oh, there's a lot of teams I like. You know, I like the Thunder and the Kings, but it's like, long-term, would I? I don't know. So, yeah, it's tough.
You know what, though? There's stuff, like, in rooting for a team that's, like, kind of, like, bad, and, like, there's a little bit of a... I don't know how to explain it. Like, when you're rooting for a team that's bad, that's on the way up, it's kind of fun. Like the building process and how they draft and,
yeah,
you know, who can they expect in free agency. And there's no real pressure, and you're watching these young guys, you know, go out and play. I think that's a fun time to be a fan of a team also.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you win it, like, if you build a super team in one off season and then you win it, like, two times or three times or whatever, I don't think it's the same as a team that's been bad for a while, been building it, and then they come up, and then it's like, holy shit, finally this team is, like, good. They win.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It means so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, when the Knicks win the championship, I will be inconsolable.
Yeah, yeah. I dream about that scenario sometimes, and I get choked up thinking about it. So
everyone would be like, "What the hell happened?" And Adam, I know you're the same way too. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I remember you still watching the games when they had 12 wins or whatever that was that season.
Yeah, I watched them all. Yeah, 12-70.
Ride or die.
Kiki Vanderway pulling his hair out.
You know what?
Came down for the front office. They made him coach after they fired Lawrence Frank. He's like, I don't want to do this. They're like, we don't care. He's like, okay, fine.
12-70, you know what? And two of those wins were against the Knicks.
Yep.
And the best part, in the draft with John Wall, we came in third in that lottery. We ended up with Derek Favors. Yay.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, It's not even like picking low or where you pick. You got to hit it in the right year, man.
Yep.
Like, you really do. Yep. Like you have to hit it when this French team comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So he's next year's draft, right? Wembanyama?
Yeah, Wemby.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Him and Scoot.
Coming up. And then Scoot Henderson is too. But I've read, because randomly when the Knicks make me upset, I Google mock drafts. it's a very loaded draft. It's going to be good, they're saying.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about it yesterday also. I'm like, hey, listen, if we watch college basketball this year, right, there's going to be four or five guys probably that show out. And then the top two picks in the draft, like, are not going to be in college. So, like, that's pretty, already there's two, the top two picks are already built in. So everything we see after that is going to be in the draft after that. So conceivably, you're going to be looking at, if there's three good players in college basketball that you think could be franchise guys potentially down the road, like, you got five there. That's five players already. So that's the way
there's a bunch of guys from, like, G League, Ignite, and other guys that are, like, in that range. So, like, you could
you could pick later in the lottery and get the best college basketball player in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see. As we get closer, you know, the Paul Strader will grace our presence.
Are you guys getting into the World Cup?
I watched it today.
Yeah, I watched USA-Wales. That was like a tale of two games, right? Like, US dominated the first half, and then Wales dominated the second half.
Which is what they do. The USA, it's like they score the first goal, and they become like these NFL like teams where they go in that prevent defense after getting a lead.
Yeah, you were saying
and
that.
It never works out. Like, yeah. You got to keep doing what you're doing. I hate when teams do that.
I know.
Happens all the time.
I know. That was annoying. Other than that,
they play England Friday.
England, yeah, that's gonna be a big one. Other than that, I haven't been too into it. I put a small wager on Belgium to win it, for fun. They had good. They had good odds.
What were the odds on that? Like,
it was plus 1900.
Wow.
So I bet 10 to win 200. Nothing crazy, but
I love their waffle.
I think soccer is the way to go with those like long shot. Best.
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck it. But supposedly only 8 teams have ever won the World Cup, or 8 countries have ever won the World Cup. Like, that's it.
Well, let's see. Italy, Brazil.
Yep. France.
Germany. France.
That's 4. Argentina. England. England actually won it back in the 60s. 5.
England. Yeah. Argentina. I got it.
Yeah, they got one with Maradona.
Maradona. So that's 6.
Colombia?
I don't know if Colombia ever won it.
Spain?
Spain, yes.
Portugal?
That's 7.
Yeah.
So we're missing one. I think it's like a random one.
Canada.
I think Uruguay or something like won it back in the day. I think that's the 8th.
Probably, yeah.
It's a random one, but that's it.
Wow, that's it?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's really hard. So.
That is not.
Yeah.
Maybe Iran will win it this year.
Or Qatar. I got a small bet with shouts to Nick Orsini. Got a small bet, just like on lunch or something, that Qatar won't score a goal. Because he thinks because they're playing in Qatar that like they're going to win a game somehow because it's going to be rigged. I think they're just probably...
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Qatar. No, yeah.
I think it's Qatar, no?
I used to think it's Qatar.
I used to think it was Qatar, and then I heard it was Qatar.
Like, Qatar? What is Qatar?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one of those things I got confused, so I don't know what's right.
I don't either.
It's Qatar.
I like.
Is it like acai?
Akai? Yeah. I think it's one of those. Whatever. However you feel.
But for years, I thought Qatar, too. I was like, no, it's Qatar. No, it's Qatar.
But yeah, I think they're just, you get an automatic bid if it's your country. They're probably terrible. So, I don't know. I don't think they'll score.
I just want to know. How much these FIFA vote members got to, approve them or whatever, take their bid. It's so corrupt, FIFA.
It's so corrupt, yeah. I remember watching a doc, like, years ago about this World Cup. Like, I feel
there's,
like...
I'm on it now. There's a new one that's on Netflix. I didn't watch it yet, but I heard it's, like, crazy.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw it in the previews. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It shows everything.
It's so frustrating. And then you can't even drink... inside the games, but inside the the suites and press boxes, you could drink there, so
stupid.
Yeah.
If I flew to Qatar for the World Cup and they told me I couldn't drink in the stadium, I just wouldn't go to the games.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah,
but just watch the games at a bar. Yeah. I'm not sitting in that stadium sober. No chance.
It's so funny though, because like the Wales fans, they're like going nuts today. You'd think they were drunk. I mean, maybe they were. They drank before.
Oh, they
the
definitely
game.
Were before.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the games are, the games aren't like that long,
Yeah.
So.
Hour and a half?
Yeah. Hour and a half. Yeah. That's it. So you can drink before and have a pretty good buzz. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. It's weird World Cup not being in the summer, but, something else to watch, I guess.
Yeah. World Cup on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Bizarre. But I guess it was too hot in Qatar, for the summer, so they had to do this. Whatever.
Qatar.
Yeah. But, all right. Good shit. Thanksgiving. Anyone, what's everyone's favorite sides? I feel like we do this every year. I feel like we do this every year. Yeah.
No, I don't think we did. Did we?
I don't know.
This might be a new one.
I'm going. I like my Nonny did a. We've kept the tradition going. A spinach sausage stuffing. It's amazing.
Ooh.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That's
that's what my mom does it too. It's legit.
The same one.
Yeah, maybe they shared recipes back in the day.
Possibly, or it might be an Italian thing. But it's unbelievable. Really good. I may take a stab at it and actually like cook it. We'll see. Wish me luck.
Ooh,
yeah. Wish me luck. But that's my favorite. So
nice. I like the. I do like a concoction. I mix up everything. So I do like the scalloped potatoes with the stuffing and the cream spinach and make it all good. And then nice. Yeah. I just make a whole mess of everything, but it just flows.
And you don't even smoke weed. Yeah.
No.
Nice.
Straight eater.
Yeah.
I'm a big mashed potato guy in Thanksgiving.
I love mashed potatoes, yeah.
Like, just a bottomless bucket of mashed potatoes for me.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Extra creamy. Juice?
My mom does a really good stuffing with sausage in it also.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that's the key, the sausage, right?
The sausage.
Yeah, that's it. But I also love a good mashed potato.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Does anybody like cranberry sauce?
I'm not a fan.
Because I do not. Yeah. I refuse to eat it.
Not a fan.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to change your mind right now.
Oh, God.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Take a nice Italian roll, turkey, gravy, stuffing.
On the sandwich.
Piece of cranberry sauce right on
top.
I
can do that. I can do that. It's the whole separate thing, like the big mosh of like the Jello-looking thing. I don't know. There's something like I never like Jello, and like the whole cranberry, it's just kind of – but if it's on the sandwich, it's like kind of hidden, and it's like a sauce. Yeah.
It's like an accent.
Yeah, I like that. Because, the sandwich is the best part, right? The next day or weekend. Yeah.
I need almost it on my turkey.
Take me sandwiches. What show?
Is that Sopranos?
Yeah, remember? Because some guy, I think one of the Jet guys, he always like puts it on Twitter.
Okay.
Almost time for turkey sandwiches. He throws the bread at the guy.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, I'm hungry now. Shit.
Yeah, I haven't eaten yet, so I got to do that. All right. Good shit. Well, everyone enjoy the holiday. And then,
except for Zach Wilson.
Except for Zach Wilson. Yeah. Yes. Good call. Good call there. Take care. Go me
here.
See ya.
You're welcome. You're welcome.